Hi, I'm Dr. Dave Janda. Welcome back to the Insider Insight Show. I am honored to have back with me two incredible patriots that are fighting for the future of our constitutional republic. Catherine Engelbrecht and Greg Phillips from True the Vote. Now, let me just read a little synopsis from True the Vote. For those of you unfamiliar, although at this point I think there are very few people in our country, if not around the world, that are unfamiliar with their efforts and what True the Vote has done on a positive impact side to our country, much to the chagrin of the, whatever you want to call it, globalist syndicate, thugocracy, New World Order, whatever you want to call it. And really, Catherine and Greg have been targeted because they focus on two entities, the deep state or whatever you don't want any kind of acknowledgement, and that is transparency and accountability, in particular of the election process. God forbid that we aren't a third world banana republic election process, which is what Greg and Catherine are fighting for. From True the Vote, our election processes are vulnerable from beginning to end, and those vulnerabilities are being exploited by groups who subvert our elections to serve their own purposes. The best way to protect voters' rights is to equip citizens for service. That's what we do. Now, that's what you can do, too. And that's the operative point that is made very clear by both Catherine, Greg, and the entire True the Vote organization. It's your involvement, not sitting on a couch and waiting for others to make a stand. It's to not and to go beyond peaceful protests, but to take action. Action is the key to beating the syndicate in this election process that they have tried to steal. You know, Greg and Catherine have made an enormous impact with the Dinesh D'Souza documentary that was based on all their efforts at True the Vote. The title that what I call the bought-off lamestream fake media does not want mentioned, 2,000 Mules. It's my honor to welcome Catherine Engelbrecht and Greg Phillips. Welcome to the Insider Insight Show and the Operation Freedom Platform.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So when one delves into 2,000 Mules, a phenomenal presentation that we know is phenomenal based on the blowback that both of you have received, are receiving, and will continue to receive. What makes it an outstanding presentation is your use of technology, geofencing, and closed circuit video surveillance that, again, the geofencing is something that is used by the military, law enforcement, was used during COVID, something that has been found to be very accurate and very informative, and each state's own closed circuit video surveillance of drop boxes. Yet, you are criticized for not providing enough information to document voter irregularities or voter fraud. Educate our listeners, Greg and Catherine, on geofencing, on the closed circuit video surveillance, and your findings that have upset the globalist syndicate into panic mode.
Greg, do you want to take the tech question?
Yeah, sure. Dave, you're exactly right. This technology is used everywhere, every day. Law enforcement, the Department of Defense, the intelligence community, the Department of Human whatever they call it now, HHS, and you know, it's really pretty. It's almost insane that for 2 weeks we were under attack, saying the technology is not real, it doesn't work, blah blah blah. And now all of a sudden, in the last couple of days, there's a letter that comes out from a bunch of Democrat senators to Google and everybody else, saying, "Hey, stop collecting this information and stop tracking people that are going to abortion clinics and you know, going to these Supreme Court justice homes. And, you know, it just doesn't even make sense. They're flailing around. They have no way to respond to it. The technology is real. The methodologies are proven. And the video, in a way, is sort of the silver bullet to it all, because it ties the who to the when to the where and then shows it on video.
And Catherine, on the video, not video services that you created or True the Vote created, but states' own video surveillance of Dropbox, which, by the way, it's my understanding that a tremendous number of states have actually lost their own video and or for some reason, well, it just isn't available. Yet, what the documentation shows that True the Vote has provided is not just the geofencing, but linking it with the video surveillance of the drop boxes. And educate our listeners on mules and what that video surveillance geofencing actually revealed.
Sure. Well, when we started the project, we had to figure out how to refer to the various elements of the formula. And it started really with the observation that this is very much like a cartel. This is a criminal cartel. And with that as a backdrop, the terms we used, where we called the people that were running the ballots mules, the people that, or the nonprofits and NGOs we referred to as stash houses, the drop boxes we referred to as drop points, all of that really is in keeping with a criminal element of there's all manner of trafficking. In this instance, it was ballot trafficking. And so what we did with the geofencing was looked at specifically those privately funded drop boxes, those Mark Zuckerberg, CTCL funded drop boxes that appeared very late in the cycle, kind of out of nowhere. We knew they were not going to be well regulated. We knew that the promises of video surveillance may or may not actually materialize, which we have also come to, you know, be proven right about, but that there would be some video. And so we geofenced around those boxes, meaning we sort of put a digital catchment around the boxes so that every time a unique cell phone device pierced through that fence, we were able to measure it. And we kept a very high standard, looking only at individual devices that went more than 10 times to drop boxes in a very narrow period during the early election. The video then was acquired by us through Open Records, and we were able to take the video, and based upon the timestamps in the video, which is a whole nother matter because it was a nightmare, but trying to find the appropriate timestamps in the video and mesh that against the geospatial findings from Greg's team to find these needles in haystacks. But it really is just that. I can't stress enough how bad the video really is. And what you see in the movie is the by far the exception and not the rule. Most of the millions of minutes of video that we have is all but unusable. The thing that makes it nonetheless a silver bullet, though, is the geospatial data, which is every bit as accurate as digital DNA. So it's the two together which tell a powerful story.
Well, and tell me if I'm wrong on this, but many people give the false impression, what True the Vote did here, Catherine, Greg did, is they followed one person around every, you know. No, to someone to be included as one of these mules, they had to have hit at least, I believe, 10 drop boxes and had five or more visits to these ballot-clearing stash houses. In fact, the criterion you set were very high for someone to be essentially included in these mules.
That's right. I mean, and that was done intentionally. Mm-hmm. Greg and I talk about it all the time. My constant refrain through this entire project was, we cannot be wrong. Greg, your team cannot be wrong. We must isolate these devices that are clearly following a pattern that suggests abuse, and then position this in a way that can be turned over to law enforcement so that they can further the investigation. But you're exactly right. And I'll tell you something else that's left out of the movie, but is really an important element here, is that the quality control, the checks that Greg's team did around this, to look at the patterns as they existed during early election and then before or after, and sometimes both, to figure out whether or not, as was one passet of quality control, there were many, but to figure out whether or not that was a typical pattern. And everybody that we have included in our subsets of mules, jurisdiction by jurisdiction, followed that pattern only during early election. So all the more reason to recognize the likelihood that there's something nefarious going on.
Greg, you're not a rookie to this. You've been doing this for decades, from the, if you will, the election forensic issues using technology. In the decades that you've been doing this, have you ever come across something that is so egregious?
No. We've seen, over the years, obviously, the evolution of this type of technology has given us tools that we didn't have in the past. But there are, the examples of ballot trafficking go back into the 1800s. I mean, Andrew Jackson's first race for president, he was cheated out of it because they stuffed the ballots. His second race for president, he cheated more than the rest of them did, so he actually won. And then Tammany Hall was nothing but ballot stuffing. As you moved into the, late last century, we were seeing, we put some people in jail for things like licking envelopes and, right. Catching the DNA off of the envelopes and that kind of thing. And so as the technology has evolved, the pursuit of these bad guys has evolved as well. And it really has hit sort of a crescendo at this point, in that we're able to actually scale it now. So instead of just looking for one person licking an envelope somewhere, we're able to do this at scale by what in essence was, trillions and trillions of cell phone signals. And then prepare them, build the patterns of life around the individuals, match it up to the drop boxes, and voila, you have organized crime that really is embedded in almost every voting jurisdiction around this country.
I grew up in the city of Chicago when Mayor Daley was mayor. He would be so envious of this operation, and he was notorious for ballot running operations. He would see this as nirvana based on what the two of you and your team have put forward. For example, when you look at the five, critical states, Michigan, right here where I'm based, Wisconsin, Georgia, Arizona, and Pennsylvania, when you do your analysis, and tell me if I'm wrong on this, Greg and Catherine, at least three of the states, based on what you have documented, would have flipped from Biden to Trump. Am I off?
I would say could have flipped. I mean, the one thing that's at play here that we just don't know, I mean, we suspect that that's true. Most of these organizations that are collecting these ballots are left-leaning, more than left-leaning groups. They're radical activist groups. So one would think if they're going to cause ballots to be stuffed into a drop box, that those would be ballots for the left, right? So, and so that is a bit of an assumption on our part. I don't think it's much of a leap for any of your listeners that are, wise enough to kind of get that. But there's no doubt that the impact here was so significant, especially in places like Georgia and Arizona, where there are only a handful, maybe a few thousand ballots that separated them, mm-hmm. that this made an impact.
And if we look across the country, national, are we looking at millions of votes potentially that through what you have done here with the technology you used that were actually flipped?
It certainly could be. I mean, the process is, as I say, sadly, you can say it now. I mean, our election process is as open as our borders. You can subvert this in any manner of ways, and it stands to reason that, I mean, this was low-hanging fruit. This was easy to do. You have inaccurate voter rolls catalyzed by mass mail-out of ballots and drop boxes that nobody's regulating. It was a free-for-all, and they took advantage of it.
And let's make this clear, because one of the brushes that they keep trying to brush you with or taint you with is, this is a Republican operation. No. This is an election operation
That's right.
that influences I call it one political party, the Republicrats, owned and operated by the same criminal syndicate, as far as I'm concerned. But and folks can disagree with that. But the bottom line is that this, and I believe one of the reasons why we have not seen a rush from people from both parties stepping up and saying, wait, we really need to dissect this, what Greg and Catherine are presenting. I'm not hearing that. I'm not seeing that. And I believe it's because, if you will, both parties, one party, benefits from this operation. Am I off?
No, you're absolutely on point. They both benefit, and they benefit in a variety of ways. They benefit in the ability to clearly to maintain control. Mm-hmm. They benefit in the ability to, frankly, continue to fundraise. This is quite the cottage industry, and as long as we don't solve it, it is an ever-present weak spot that come election time, everybody can rattle their sabers around voter suppression or voter fraud, and everybody can raise money and be blindly participatory in continuing on with not providing solutions, but just kicking the can further down the road until it cracks, which is where we're headed.
And when you realize the significance of your findings with this technology, which is irrefutable from the geofencing standpoint as well as the video surveillance standpoint, you took it to a number of individuals, I believe, within government, within law enforcement, correct?
Right, yes.
All right, so who stepped forward?
Well, part of a path that we've chosen to follow sometimes can get subverted because there's at the upper echelons of pretty much all governmental organizations, whether they be law enforcement or otherwise, no surprise, there's politics. So to the extent that we apparently or could have known or should have known, I don't know whether politics was going to come into play, but there were a number of occasions where our work was dismissed because of politics. Now, that said, we've got some amazing things happening out there. In Arizona, we've got plea deals that have been made. People are already going to prison. Mm-hmm. We have ongoing investigations right now that are involving dozens and dozens of mules that are being interviewed. We're super optimistic about some of these things. We're optimistic about some real activity in your area. We're optimistic in mm-hmm. Wisconsin. So, part of this, Dave, is not just to nail these people, but Catherine and I have long talked about the sentinel effect of all of this. Mm-hmm. If our goal is to stop this, and so what is the evidence that we might be stopping it? Maybe a 92% reduction in Dropbox use in the Atlanta area in the primary that just happened this week. I'd say that was a bit of a victory. So we're looking for them any way we can. We're super excited about some opportunities that Catherine can tell you about. But we're making progress here. We're moving the needle, and it's not just a lot of people watching this movie. It's awakening America and giving the voice to people who have since November 3rd of 2020 have been shaking their head, in the words of one of Aaron Lewis's songs, "Something Ain't Right." And that's where I think Mules has left us.
One of the things I've encouraged our listeners to do is to call their elected representatives at all level, federal, state, local, and say, have you watched this documentary, 2000 Mules? And if the answer is no, put them on the spot. Oh, why? What exactly are you afraid of? Why are you bathing in ignorance when it comes to our election process? I think that's a very effective tool. And the people that have done it, some have actually sat down and brought a handheld device and started playing the presentation that features your work and held it in front of the elected representative and said, you're not leaving because you're going to watch this with me.
Excellent.
And that's the key. So, Catherine, educate us, because many people say, oh, they've done phenomenal work. They're putting their lives on the line. They're putting their organization on the line for the future of this country. But is anything going to come of this? Well, we talked about what each person needs to do. Now, be peaceful, but educate our whatever they are, political, not leaders, but politicians, on what was done here, what you did and put your lives on the line for. But what are some of the ramifications you see occurring over the next 6 months, year, 2 years? Because let's face it, if we do the same thing we did in 2020 and we just say, well, that happened, and well, we're just gonna, as a surgeon, I can tell you that's you are gonna have a bad result if you ignore what has already occurred and say, well, that happened, we're just going to keep doing the same thing. No, 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 that doesn't work. Catherine, what do you see happening over the next 6 months, year, 2 years?
Well, certainly I think, you know, law enforcement stepping up, we are thrilled. We have been contacted by sheriffs from across the country, sheriffs associations from across the country, who want to take a more active role in helping to affirm the lawful process of election. You know, in 2020, the process was just broadly lawless. So for sheriffs to use the power that they have, which is significant, to help to observe these drop boxes, to help to ensure that when things start to go south, I mean, look, I've been doing this for 10 years. I can tell you, when a voter goes to a polling place and they have a problem, mm-hmm. to get action on that in any meaningful measure of time is a joke. There's nobody you can call. There's no plan. But if you begin to get sheriffs involved, that's a whole new thing. So that's a new introduction that we're very, very excited about. I can't, and Greg has already mentioned it, but I can't overstate the value of the Sentinel impact that an awake and engaged America will have. Because now, the calculus begins to change a little bit. For years, we have been on defense when we're being accused of, you know, voter ID is racist, or not having all mail is somehow suppressing the vote. And there hasn't been a really strong position to stand up with and say, no, look what happens when you remove the necessary checks and balances for security. Look at how the process is exploited. And so I think that it's given and will continue to give people that, as Greg said, have known something is wrong, a way to articulate the specifics of look at how it is happening, and then move to make corrections. And then what I hope we're going to see in the next few years is a real focus on why our elections are run the way they are, mm-hmm. how elections are run around the world, and how we can do better. There is no reason with the technology that exists today mm-hmm. that we cannot institute a system that resolves identity, residency, and citizenship in real time to make sure that we have accurate voter rolls, that eliminates all of the slop that gets involved with mail ballots that don't have IDs attached, that don't have proper chain of custody. There are so many more elegant ways to implement that process that will benefit everyone. But those are the conversations that we must have, because our process, globally speaking, is a joke. So we've got to now look at not just how to make incremental changes, although that's necessary, but we need big, sweeping, out-of-the-box thinking to get us to where we need to be in this country. So I'm very optimistic that over the next few years we're going to see that. But I believe we were a big part of moving the needle to a mm-hmm. place where we could even have that conversation.
Agreed. Greg, who's been the biggest roadblock to your efforts of accountability, transparency in the election process?
Yeah, wow. I think it depends on the state, first of all. I think broadly secretaries of state and this protection of the mm-hmm. or the lack of transparency mm-hmm. in what these voter rolls actually look like and feel like mm-hmm. Is really a problem. There's a leftist organization out there called ERIC that unfortunately many Republicans take to. And ERIC is a real problem, because the first thing ERIC does is they get the voter rolls, they get the driver's license files, they get all manner of information in places like Illinois, they get the Medicaid files, they get everything else. And then they start mass mailing them to try to get people to register. All the while, all of this is done under the guise is, hey, we're just trying to clean your rolls. But the first thing they do to ensure the transparency does not happen, or there is no transparency, is they force the states to sign a non-disclosure. So any communication back and forth with ERIC about these people who have moved or you know, should not be, otherwise should not be on the rolls, is hidden from the public eye. And they'll sue you for it. They'll do anything they could do to stop you from publishing these roles. So I would say secretaries of state broadly, but particularly secretaries of state that are giving quarter to this lawlessness of the ERIC agreements, which are designed to subvert free, fair, legal elections.
Catherine, who has been the biggest surprise roadblock that you have encountered?
Surprise roadblock.
Someone that you thought would back your and Greg and True the Vote's efforts who said, uh-uh. Not just uh-uh, but let me make it a little more difficult for you.
Republican elected officials have intentionally manipulate this situation to make us the targets, rather than to take what we've provided. Because it's important to note that during a season when everybody was talking about what they were finding relative to the 2020 election, True the Vote was silent. Mm-hmm. We were just doing our work.
That's right.
And trying to work very discreetly, mm-hmm, with law enforcement and with election officials in the interest of furthering investigations. We were not trying to make headlines. We were trying to get work done. And to see that taken and used in a way as wielded as a weapon against us, trying to discredit us, trying to mock us, Republican officials, is breathtaking. And it's come across the board. I mean, you know, we've, again, you know, fodder for another show, but we've tried to intervene on behalf of states that had been sued by the Department of Justice and were stopped by the RNC and the NRSC. So they don't want to talk about this.
No.
They don't want to acknowledge how deep the problem really is. And that cannot, as you point out, it can't end well. The problems are real. They must be fixed. And if we avoid fixing them, we face certain demise. And the only solution is the American people, because the parties are roadblocks.
And this goes beyond Donald Trump. They might try to say, oh, this is all about, no. This is about the entire process that has become criminalized. That,
absolutely.
And tell me if I'm wrong, that has benefited both Dems and Republicans, which is why there is this opposition and people essentially wanting to add an anchor to your feet from both sides of this equation that I call the Republicrats.
That's absolutely the case. You know, the parties breathe this sort of rarefied air that that they believe precludes them from doing the courageous, difficult task of instituting the best processes, the most transparent and honest, even though those are difficult things to peel back, because as you point out, I mean, the fraud's been institutionalized. So to pull all of this back to where it needs to be takes a lot of courage, and our elected officials are there. That's just not how they're, most of them. I don't want to brush this with too broad a stroke.
Right.
But most of them, they can manage to, you know, manipulate the process in such a way that we never really deal with the hard stuff. And this is hard stuff.
Let's close with this, Greg. Some people still refer to it as the mainstream media. For years, I've called it the bought-off lamestream fake media. Is there anyone or any entity in the bought-off lamestream fake media at this point that either of you trust?
I think that that there are individuals that we trust. I think that the machine that is that media, and the lawyers that really seem to drive all of the decisions that are made, mm-hmm, are far more influential than most people know.
Absolutely.
There are some of the biggest, best hosts at Fox that are, you know, that are our friends, that are honest. They do believe us, and they are willing to talk. But when it comes down to actually sort of promoting, you know, a commercial product, which Mules was, I think that their lawyers needed or did step in, and I think for them it was ostensibly to protect the networks or whatever. I have no idea, but broadly, no. I mean, there's nobody. We haven't heard much of anything from the Wall Street Journal. We haven't heard anything from Fox. We have, you know, but those are a little hurtful. But I don't think, I don't want to speak for Catherine, but I don't think either of us blame the reporters or the hosts themselves. I think it's just the machine that is big media these days. They just can't afford the, you know, the scrutiny or the lawsuits that it inevitably will come from these kinds of things.
Well, it's all about accountability and transparency. And I'll give you a little. When I've done a tremendous amount of work over 30 some years in healthcare policy, and I had one rule when it came to meetings with, as it relates to healthcare policy. No lawyers were allowed in the room. Only people who cared about patients and had the ability to deliver care to help patients. And that was my rule. And I got in a lot of people had a problem with it. On the other hand, we helped millions of people through our work because we did not have lawyers in the room telling us what was going to happen. We let the people that cared about people, and that is what both of you bring to this table in your organization. This is about people. This is about the future of our country. This is about so we have a country. And I thank you for not being lawyers, but being patriots. And there's a huge difference, because all those high-end, multi-million dollar, I'm going to say the word, you're not going to have anything to, I don't want you to respond to this, all the high-end puppets that make millions of dollars at these networks, if they really cared about the future of this country, they would put their own self-interest and they would put the lawyers in another room and they would talk to the public and allow your information to be dissected, which both of you have always asked for. Dissect our stuff. If there's criticism, bring it, as long as it's justified. And I give you tremendous credit for having the courage, the perseverance, the dedication, and the sacrifice in putting your lives on the line so that there is a future for our republic. Finally, educate our listeners in what they can do and how they can follow your efforts and how they can deliver 2,000 mules to their 2,000 friends that they each have.
You can go to truethevote.org. That's our website. And from there, you will see what we have going on. You will be able to link into ways to buy that 2,000 mules movie if you want to do that. All it's available across a number of different platforms. You'll be able to sign up for our every Monday night. We just started a new thing every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, where we, for an hour or so, just answer questions and talk about topics that have come up in the past week. That we did our first one last Monday and had, I don't even know, many thousands of people listening in. That was a lot of fun. And we have additional things from the website that you can check out, the ways to clean your voter rolls. Following along with us as we continue to expand our reach and getting video surveillance aggregated. There's training online, lots of information about how elections are conducted in your state. So that's truethevote.org. You can follow us on socials, where we haven't been banned, so that's not many. But you know, we're in a weird time right now because we're getting close enough to the election that the midterms, that very soon voter rolls are going to be closed. They're not going to be able to make any changes to the accuracy of those rolls. We're going to be stuck with what we have. But there are active efforts right now to make sure that at least in those states where they have drop boxes, there will be eyes on those drop boxes. And all of that's in process. So the best way to stay connected is through the website, and we'll keep you informed as those efforts continue to develop.
Catherine and Greg, I'd like to thank you for everything you have done, are doing, and will do. My dad's favorite saying was dream big and dare to fail. Not dream big and dare to win, because as he said, if you just dare to win, you don't leave it all in the field. But when you dare to fail, you leave it all in the field. Both of you and your organization has dreamed big and it's dared to fail. And in the process. I believe when it's all said and done, you will have saved our constitutional republic from being taken over by a globalist syndicate that wants to strip freedom and liberty from every person of our country and, frankly, every person of the world. I thank both of you for your perseverance, your dedication, your courage, and your sacrifice. And I'd like to thank you folks for joining us today. Until next time, Dave Janis signing off. Dream big and dare to fail. Thanks for your time today.